television studio.
Gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, it's old Shaziz. I'm out here in my mad science laboratory. If you hear a noise in the background, that's that electric heater going there. You know, that terrible global warming hasn't caught up with me yet. I'm looking forward to some of that heat they're talking about. So I hope you all doing well out there. Shout out to our friends over there at 1800 Online, and if you ain't been over there, go check them out. I believe there's a link in, on Shaziz Radio. If there's not, we'll get one up there for you. But there's some really good folks out there, and on Awake Radio and No Borders, and We Roar, and multiple other networks out there. It's a good thing when all these small networks come together to do a big thing. So with that said, you know, keep the ball rolling. Tell your friends about all these different networks. It doesn't have to be Shazizz Radio you come listen to. I couldn't care less whether you're on Shazizz Radio or Awake Radio or No Borders Radio. It's all about getting some really good positive information and meeting some friends from all over the globe. I mean, we got friends in Scotland and Ireland and Canada and Russia and all over this world, man. A lot of friends in the United States. Man, I could just pretty much name them off. We go through about 260 countries in the world. It's a wonderful thing, though, because, you know, you have access to meet friends that you otherwise wouldn't been able to meet. And with this upcoming virtual lab thing, we'll be able to have real-time live experiments with all these researchers from around the world who couldn't necessarily afford to fly back and forth. I did get the luxury of visiting with my friend Cultus from Australia. He actually came to the United States, and they're working on being able to keep him over here for a while. You know, hopefully he's going to immigrate to the United States, and I'll have a mad science partner over in my neck of the woods that is all the way from clear across the globe. He's a wonderful guy, and so if you have the opportunity to go over and check out his YouTube and stuff like that and help him, he's got a GoFundMe account trying to raise some funds for some projects and stuff like that. That would be a wonderful deal if you could help him out with that kind of thing there. But, you know, if not, just send him a smile and say hi to him and all that kind of stuff. He's a great guy, great researcher, and I'm looking forward to doing more work with him. So with that said, there's a whole lot of projects in the works. I threw a link in the YouTube video of an interesting video that I put up last night that has to do with thinking outside the box, you know. When you sit around and you think about life and all this kind of stuff, and you hear about all the doomsday scenarios and all the, you know, preppers getting ready for this and that, you know, doomsday is like waiting around in the freaking license bureau, man. You know how you ever go to the license bureau and you got to kind of keep on top of it, because if not, you'll doze off and miss your number and have to wait back in line again. Because it's boring. It's like pulling teeth, man. Anyway, waiting around for doomsday is pretty much the same thing, but I don't advocate that you don't get prepared or anything like that. I always say that it's always better to have something in the worst case scenario than nothing. So, you know, use your common sense and stock up on a few things and that kind of stuff. But in the alternative energy community, there's a vast array of all kinds of things that you could do to prepare for just such an emergency. Now, keep in mind, you know, with the inefficient systems that we've got going on, if you're going to be completely off the grid, you're going to need a pretty powerful system, you know, something 10,000 watts or more in order to keep your stuff going. But don't think you got to go out and spend $1 million to get a giant solar array or something like that. The key to the whole deal is storage, you know. You can go out and get all kinds of old batteries, you know. Even if a battery won't charge up to its fullest capacity, it still has storage capabilities. I've been running several batteries over here that I've got sitting in. They're all running parallel. These batteries were all given to me, and they were, you know, pretty much done for. You couldn't use them in a car anymore because they didn't have enough cold cranking amps to even turn the starter over. However, they still had storage capacity. So I run all these in parallel, and I hooked them directly into a little cheapo solar panel just to see how long it'd take them to charge and that kind of stuff. And it really doesn't take as long as you think it would to charge. You could do it all with one 40-watt solar panel. And this particular setup right here, I don't even have a charge controller on there. See, the only reason why you need a charge controller is to keep from overcharging. And so as long as you're not having to worry about overcharging your batteries, then you don't have to worry about having a charge controller. See, there's where it gets tricky in the whole situation. Everybody thinks about solar equipment. They think, well, I got to have all this high-tech, expensive equipment. No, you really don't. All you need is as many batteries as you can get your hands on. You know, all sizes and shapes. As long as they're 12-volt batteries and you can run them all in parallel together, You know, you don't want to run them in series, obviously, because that's gonna increase the voltage on that. But unless you're going to be running something off of 36 volts, you know, that kind of stuff. But either way, for 12 volt systems, which would be excellent for basic lighting and cooling and stuff like that, you know, because you can run little electric fans, 12 volt electric fans. There's all kinds of 12 volt appliances out there. There's even little 12 volt mini fridges and stuff like that. And you got little 12 volt TVs, and shoot, there's a whole lot of stuff that runs off of 12 volts. Just look around, and you could set you up a little system, you know, because I think the biggest key in some sort of scenario such as an apocalyptic deal where, you know, the power grid goes down is, you know, everybody's used to being able to go and turn the light switch on and not and having power. And, you know, if the lights went down for a day, that wouldn't be so bad. But after about a week or so, people would start to get a little bit freaking out. You know, hey, you know, the power is never coming back on. Well, this is why with Mad Science, I like to talk about doing all kinds of alternative energy things like wind turbines and solar panels and such. And with that said, somebody give me a message in there. Do 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 do. Oh yeah, we could do that. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, anyway. do 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 do. Hate it when that happens. Okay. I'm coming right on over there, Gary. Alright, well, I got distracted. I got a message there. Anyway, like I was saying, there's all kinds of different 12-volt appliances out there. There's systems. There's all kinds of... I did a video called Simple Solar. And if you go around places like Harbor Freight, you'll find these little miniature fans that you can set right up in the window. And they have their own built-in solar panel. And they have their own built-in battery, and whenever you know when the sun's out, it'll blow some cool air across there. It's actually set up for cars, but there's all kinds of different things like that. Anyway, somebody on the Scottish Sovereign side asked me how many watts does it take to make 40 watt solar panel. Well, 40 watt solar panels, you can buy them already. One panel itself is 40 watts. Well, the kits anyway that I've been getting at Harbor Freight, I'll have to get a picture and a link to it. But there's 40 watt kits. There are actually like three little panels that come together that make 40 watts. And you know, like I said, it don't have to be something spectacular. You don't have to go into high dollar equipment in order to you know, have some sort of lights. See, the key is just if the power grid goes down and you just need to be able to light up a few things, keep some stuff cool or whatever, you know, you could do that on a battery bank, you know, just as well. So it may take you just a little bit longer to charge the battery bank completely up to, you know, operating voltage, that kind of stuff. But you got to calculate in, like, if it takes me 8 batteries to get through the night, then I'll throw 8 more batteries in there, and then I got that extra storage capacity. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, if you have those massive solar arrays, it don't take you very long. You don't need necessarily near as many batteries. But the key, what I'm talking about is not going out there spending you know, $100 per battery. You can get batteries over here, you know, anywhere from like the little lawn and gardens for like 40, 50 bucks all the way up to, you know, whatever the largest batteries that are out there. But heck, I just go around, and when somebody's changing the battery out of their car and they're getting ready to throw it over on the curb or off to the recycling bin, then I'll just ask them if I can have it. So anyway, shoot, man, my brain just stopped on me. I hate it when that happens. You go out there to flea markets, thrift stores, swap meets, that kind of stuff. You're liable to come across some old solar panels, and A lot of times they'll take these solar panels down, you know, when they're upgrading or whatever, and there ain't nothing wrong with them. I bought a good little 40-watt solar panel for $20, and to me that was a steal. When I saw it, I was like, yeah, hey, got out there, been using it for quite some time, and I got a couple different arrays out there that... The kits that they sell at Harbor Freight, they come with their own charge controller, and they actually come with two light bulbs, but the light bulbs they got with them are little fluorescent jobs, and they don't last very long, so I swapped the fluorescents out for some little 12-volt light bulbs like you'd use inside your turn signals on your car. You know, they don't take as much. You know, little trailer lights, those little 12-volt ones, you just go to the auto parts store and get you some sockets and just rewire them up, and then... They don't use near as much juice, but they put out quite a bit of light, man. They're in the actual housings that that came with the kit. I'll try to get some links together. I thought I'd put a... go watch the video, Simple Solar. I think I put some links in that on that deal there. But anyway, I'm looking down through the chat room. Go do some stuff. All right. Well, you know, that's one of the... bad things when you start watching. Alright, well, you know, like I said before, though, you know, sitting around waiting for doomsday is kind of like waiting around in the doggone license bureau to get some tags on your car or get your driver's license renewed. It's boring. It's probably, you know, if it ever gets here, you know, chances are you ain't going to be ready for it anyway. But in the meantime, you can use all kinds of junk to you know, things that people throw away. Like one of the things that I like are these APCs, these automatic power control deals. They have built-in surge protection, battery backups for your computers. Now, the one I got in my hand right here, I got it for free because they was going to throw it off in the trash because they were upgrading to a newer model. Well, this is a 12-volt system inside there. And so, normally, whenever you have these things connected to your computer, if the power goes down, this will allow you about 15 minutes to shut your computer down before, you know, the power just drops off completely so you don't crash your computer out. So what you can do with these things is, because you know you've heard about inverters, that you can go out there and you can hook an inverter to a 12-volt power supply and you can get AC power out of them. This is essentially an inverter, and it's a cheap inverter. You can go to thrift stores and you can buy these things for dirt, you know, because, you know, when they get out of date, the most expensive portion of them are the batteries. But if you take this 12-volt system and you take the bad battery out and you hook that 12-volt, those wires positive and negative to a 12-volt battery bank, you can plug it into your regular power supply and have this thing charging that battery bank, and if your power ever goes off, then you can just shift right over to battery power, you know, with some small appliances. This has like six inputs in it right there, so you could actually put six small things on there. Keep in mind that the more stuff you have on there, the less time you're actually going to be able to run, because, you know, you're using up a lot of juice. But if your battery bank's large enough, then you can extend that time. Instead of like 15 minutes for one battery, you got 30 minutes for two batteries, or so on down the line. I've never really sat there and done the exact math on it or anything like that, but I do know, you know, how the thing works. That's exactly what a solar array does, is it charges up a huge battery bank, which gives you plenty of time to run all that stuff overnight. You know, you run it off of the sunlight during the day, and you run it off the batteries at night. So your battery bank has to be big enough to make it through the night, and then be able to, as soon as the sun comes up, be able to shift right over to solar, and you never even miss a lick, so to speak. But there's all kinds of junk out there that you can get for free, man. People throw microwave ovens in the trash all the time. I don't know how they do it over in Scotland or Ireland or anything like that, what they recycle, what they don't recycle, or whether you have junkyards or scrap yards you can go to and access. But if you have access to those, man, you can find, it's like a treasure hunt, man. There's all kinds of gold in them thar hills. Down here, over here in the United States, we got flea markets and thrift stores and junk stores, and people Sometimes they have like community trash days, you know, where people put whatever they don't want out there on the curb for the trash man to come around and get. And the city will bring a truck around and load up all this kind of stuff. Well, on trash day, it's like free goodie day, man. You can go out there and find all kinds of electronics. There's all kinds of goodies inside electronics if you want to make your own wind generators and stuff. I did a few videos on mini generators that showed you a couple different things, like 12-volt or the fish tank air pumps. They have coils in there, make you a flywheel out of two-part epoxy resin, and run it off of a 12-volt battery. Now you got a little mini generator. It's pretty simple concept. A lot of times you can find old weed eater motors that you could hook up to little generator heads or whatever. There's all kinds. Anything that has a permanent magnet motor, you can usually tell if it's a permanent magnet motor by taking a screwdriver and sticking it to the side. If it'll stick to the side, you know it's got magnets inside that casing. Otherwise, it's like an alternator. You have to have you put power to an alternator, and then that energizes the magnetic field, which in turn produces the energy for your car. Now, even that, you know, you can still use those on hook a lawnmower. And I did one called Redneck Emergency Generator or something like that. I can't even remember what the name of that video was. But essentially it was a 4-horse Briggs & Stratton lawnmower motor with an AC Delco alternator and a 350-watt inverter connected to it. And essentially you just connect it up to a car battery just like it would be in your regular car. And so while you're running this thing, it's charging the battery, and you can run off of the inverter, or you could just run off of 12 volts, and it keeps it charged, you know, while it's running. And that's gasoline, of course. Or you could, if you could get a hold of one of the old diesel motors, then that would be even better, because you can run them diesels off of biofuel, such as my buddy down the street down here. He goes around and gets all the grease from the fast food joints where they make french fries and stuff like that, and he gets like 50 gallon barrels of it, and all you have to do is filter out the crud and run it straight into your diesel, and then you get it made. So he's running his diesel generator off of just cruddy old oil, you know, and you know, he's doing pretty good at that. He even runs some of that stuff in his tractor to go out and brush hog the land that he's got. So there are ways to do it, you know. This whole mainstream society, the way that they do things, sit around and freaking piss and moan about how, you know, the planet's heating up and this terrible global warming's going to jump on your back and eat your firstborn and that kind of stuff, and then they don't do nothing about it. We've had the technology for some amazing electric cars. Heck, the first electric car was back in the 1800s, man. And then here we are today. We're in year 2014, and we're just now tinkering around with electric cars. Or they're too expensive, or they're, you know, they try to make the hybrids. You know, I just don't think it's a very wise idea to mix electric engine with a gasoline engine. You know, shorten out wire fire and then a gas explosion. I just, come on, man. You know, Stan Myers did a car for hydrogen with the hydrogen, and ran his dune buggy off of hydrogen, which everybody knows, water, hydrogen and oxygen, so water will burn. And so, you know, why didn't they jump on that bandwagon back then? Look, that's a really brilliant idea, old Stan. We'll just help you out with that, and we'll have all of our cars running on that. That's not the way it happens, because these turkeys out there, they're not interested in what is going to benefit you as the people, you know. The representation that we get out here in our countries and the world is just, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, man. It's like having the fox watch the hen house. Yeah, I'll take care of all these chickens while you're gone. Really? Okay, thanks. Yeah, let's go that route. And anyway, the technology's been there, you know, and I get so doggone frustrated because we could run your gasoline engines off of water. It's not that big of a deal, you know. It's electrolysis process, two separate plates, a positive and a negative, and you throw it down in water, even regular straight tap water will still produce hydrogen. It just won't do it as fast. So you throw a little bit of salt in there and raise the conductivity of the doggone water, and now you got a better conductive water and more hydrogen being produced. I did it straight out of the bottle from seltzer water that I bought in the store for 79 cents, a little 2-liter bottle for 79 cents. And, it made really good hydrogen. So, why, if a guy like me can do it in my old mad science lab, you tell me these major corporations out there couldn't figure it out by now? It's all about money, and it's always been. You know, people think you're a conspiracy nut because you talk about this kind of stuff. The proof's in the pudding, man. When you look straight out there, and when I was a kid, I've been a science geek ever since I was little. And, I thought, by the year 2000, we're going to be flying around in hovercrafts and spaceships and stuff like that. It's going to be like the Jetsons. I can't wait, I get all the way up to the year 2000, and we're still running around in freaking jalopies, man. Seriously? Come on. That was disappointing. I spent all that time trying to rush my life towards the future so that I could see all the nifty gizmos coming out. And we got shortchanged because everybody kept it back for themselves. But if you're going to make any advancement as society, as humans, you're going to have to do it yourself. We're going to have to do it amongst us, like we're doing with all these different networks, because you're not going to get no assistance from any major corporation, any of the power companies or oil companies or any of that. They don't care about you saving money. They only care about their bottom line making some doggone money, man. Look at your light bill these days. Man, I remember back in the day whenever I was younger, my grandpa hollering because he got a $50 bill, man, for his lights. He's like, oh, you all need to start turning things off when you're done with it and stuff. $50, what the heck is going on around here? I got an $800 light bill. My grandpa would have had a stroke over that one. Dave in on the Scotty Sovereign side was talking about hydrogen cells, seawater. There's fuel. And even the Navy turned around and said that they're going to start running their doggone ships on hydrogen. Now, what better fuel can you get than the fuel that you're actually riding around on? You don't even have to carry a fuel tank if you don't want, because you're sitting on an ocean full of water. So you drain some water up, suck some water up into the deal. You separate out the crud out the deal. Filter it out. Electrolysis process makes the hydrogen, burn the fuel. And what do you put back out into the ocean? Fresh water. So what? That's not a bad thing. I mean, these guys are always talking about pollution, man. But they ain't doing nothing about it. Nobody out there is doing about it. You'll hear the mainstream media. You'll hear them pissing and moaning about things. But you don't ever see them doing anything about it. all these politicians, they'll come on there and jump on the green wagon every time they get a chance. Oh, we got to save the trees, man. And we got to save the fishes and the air. And we got to cut down on carbon emissions. But then when they get through jaw-jacking in front of the population and trying to make themselves look like they even give a damn about anybody, what do? They go right outside the State House building, jump into a big old stretch limousine, go on down to the liquor store and get some booze and get fired up, man. And then when they're done with that, they go out and get in their own personal vehicles, get busted with DWIs, and then turn around and get off of that because, they're in the system, so they're above it. And then after that, they'll go on down and jump in their buddy's private jet and fly across the planet, whatever. But the actions speak louder than words. Don't tell me to cut my carbon emissions down and then go buy you a doggone 9-bedroom mansion up next to the seashore that you said we're going to rise like old Al Gore did. And he's still driving around in a doggone limousine and flying in a corporate jet. That dude should be living in a freaking mud hut, man. Seriously. He should be off there somewhere on the jungle island, some deserted island, living in a mud hut with all his money sitting over there to keep him warm and that kind of stuff, because dude, he's just lost his freaking mind. talking about the polar bears are going to drown. Polar bears can swim for miles, man. Go over there, hug that cute little polar bear. I want to get that on video for YouTube. Anyway, go out and find you some of them APCs, them automatic power supplies. You can charge up some batteries while the power is on, and then if the power ever goes down, you'll have until that battery bank runs dry before you actually have to worry about anything. And if you got you a solar array and you have a couple solar panels out there, cheap old, I mean, Harbor Freight is, you can Google it. Harbor Freight is a great place to buy tools, and they always have sales. If you watch the sales, you'll find that you can buy these instead of right now. They're like $189 for the kit that I was talking about, the 45-watt solar panel kit. And they usually about $189, but if you watch it, you can usually get them for like $149 to $150, somewhere around about, because they're always moving, you know, stuff, sailing. But either way, that's how you got to do it, man. Go out there to check out eBay. Google up some solar panels, use solar panels, buy some of them things right there. You don't need a massive array. And if you get around to actually doing this, you know, and you're having problems, heck, call me up on Skype, man. Ask me, hey, you know, how do I connect this or whatever. See, on if you go over and look at Muddy Mudman's channel, he's doing this mighty mini wind turbine deal, but he has some light bulbs hooked up that he calls a dump load. And essentially, if the thing starts to overcharge, it'll kick that light on, and that light will drain some of the battery back down. That's a simple charge controller. You can do the same thing with a solar panel if you're worried about overcharging your batteries. Put a voltmeter on that thing. If it starts to get above what it should be, you know, you could have a relay switch kick on a light bulb and just run it back down to where you need it, or just leave it running continuous. That's what I got on my battery bank. If I'm going to be gone for any extended period of time, I just walk away and leave the lights running. I'm wasting free electricity. You know, if my grandpa was around today, he'd come over and seen that light bulb on, he'd be freaking out. He'd be like, "What you doing, man, leaving that light on and then leaving for?" And I say, "Well, you know what, grandpa, that light bulb, I'm not paying for that electricity." And he's like, "Well, who is paying for it?" I said, "The sun. God, he's paying for it." Because when's the last time you ever got a light bill from the sun, you know? So you got solar, you got wind, you could burn water, you got earth batteries. My little earth battery right now, been monkeying around with it. It's only at 0.66 volts, but it never goes any lower than that. It's continuous energy out of the dirt. And, you know, when it rains outside and gets some chemistry going in that dirt, then it actually starts to raise the voltage up on that as well. So if you can get energy out of dirt and you can get energy out of wind, if you live anywhere near a stream, if you live anywhere near an ocean, you know, nature's tough. When that wave comes in, there's a lot of pressure behind that wave. And there's a lot of nifty gizmos that people's created out there. One of them is like a float that has a paddle on the bottom of it, and as it's bobbing around in the water, that paddle's going back and forth and waving magnets across the coils of wire, which is producing electricity. And so if you're right next to the ocean, build you one of those gizmos and set it out there in the surf with a little anchor so it can't come in too close to the shore, and you got electricity. So I just said, to me, it just it boggles my mind, you know, how these mainstream people out there, mainstream media, mainstream government, whatever you want to call it, the flat earthers of the world, you know, the college educated goons out there who have been indoctrinated into believing a certain way, and that's all they're going to believe no matter what you say. Oh, you can't do that. That's against the laws of physics. Well, I'm a rebel against the laws of physics. Nature has provided. So with that said, you know, there's all kinds of options out there. Get you some cheapo solar panels. Get you some automatic power supplies. If somebody offers you some electronics, don't turn it down. You know, I've got a whole shed full of electronics out there, and if somebody comes out and offers me another shed full, I'll take those as well, because there's a lot of nifty gizmos inside that deal. You know, and the reason why I like using recycled materials in my research is because if I can't do it, then how's the other average Joe going to be able to do it? Because if you go out there and buy all this stuff, you're talking about a lot of money. You know, to wind your coils personally, there's some really nice really talented people out there that really wind some awesome coils. But you know, it takes a little bit of time. It's not rocket science though. If you ever need any help with that kind of stuff, heck, like I said, call me up on Skype or get a hold of me in the chat room, or if you want to call in live during the Mad Science Show, whatever, can join in on the Knights of the Round Table on Sundays. Call in there. You know, there's always time to talk about alternative energy. That's one of the things that I was about fixing to say earlier about the whole... The time to get ready for the apocalypse is before the apocalypse, not during the apocalypse. However, during the apocalypse, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of appliances laying around that nobody gives a, you know, what about, but you could scrounge around if you know what you're doing, but the key is you got to learn it before the apocalypse, that kind of deal. So anyway, I think I'm gonna take a quick music break and update my coffee. And if anybody wants to call in when I get back after the next couple songs or whatever, that would be great. Okay, here's a good tune for you guys. Stay tuned. Peace and love. You're listening to Shaziz Mad Science.
Son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln. Have you heard the story of the hot rod race when the Fords and the Lincolns were set in the pace? That story's true, I'm here to say, 'cause I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 8 cylinders and use them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall. With 4 bow carbs and a dual exhaust and 4 lemon gears, you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good and tires fast. Pulled out of San Pedro late one night, the moon and the stars were shining bright. We was driving up old Grapevine Hill, passing cars like they were standing still. All of a sudden, in a wink of an eye, a Cadillac sedan passed us by. I said, boys, that's a mark for me. By then the taillight was all you could see. Now the fellas all ribbed me for being behind, so I thought I'd make that Lincoln unwind. Took my foot off the gas, and man alive, I shoved it on down into overdrive. Well, I wound it up to 110. My speedometer said that I'd hit top end. My foot was glued like lead to the floor. That's all there is, there ain't no more. Now the boys all thought that I'd lost my sense, and them telephone poles looked like a picket fence. They said, slow down, I see spots. The lines on the road just look like dots. We took a corner, sideswiped the truck, and I crossed my fingers just for luck. My fenders was clicking the guardrail post, and the guy beside me was white as a ghost. Smoke was coming from out of the back when I started to gain on a Cadillac. I knew I could catch him and I thought I could pass. Don't you know by then we'd be low on gas. I had flames coming from out of the side. You can feel the tension, man, what a ride. I said, look out, boys, I got a license to fly. And that caddy pulled over and let us by. Now all of a sudden she started to knock it down. In the dip she started to rock. And I looked in the mirror, red light was blinking. The cops was after my hot rod Lincoln. Well, they arrested me and they put me in jail, and they called my pappy to throw my bail. And he said, son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Space, the final frontier. These are the the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
We'll be right back.
don't get me wrong. You know, I like to be good to nature. You know, I'm not one that wants to go out and trash the planet or anything like that. But see, I come from it from a different point of view. That I know the planet's a lot tougher than people like to think it is. You know, save the planet, save the trees. I do need to go out there and save the whales like they do from whale wars, you know, out there trying to get these whalers to stop their monkey business. Because, you know, it's like this. If you kill off all the bees, then you got your work cut out for you. You're going to have to get out there and pollinate those flowers yourself. And hopefully you're pretty good at it and pretty efficient. Because if not, then you're not getting no fruit that year. And if you kill off all the whales and the fish of the sea, then you're going to bust up the food chain until eventually you're gonna croak out. But the fact is, when it's all said and done, when we get through polluting our own local environments and killing ourselves off, nature will scrub all that stuff on and go on right without us. It'll shake us off like a bad set of fleas as if we were never even there. There won't even be none of our buildings left. The only thing that even really stood the test of time was the pyramids out there. That's because they had smarts enough to actually build them some geometrical shapes out of local materials right there that you know, weren't going to dissolve with the passing of time and stuff. There's still damage on the pyramids, but they're still standing. That's a impressive thing. But at the end of the day, nature's the one in charge. You ain't never going to be in charge. You can trash up your local environment. I always put it like, you know, a fishbowl. You know, if you got a fishbowl and you got a little goldfish in there and he's living in there and he's peeing and pooing in his own water, you know, eventually it's going to get so acidic that it's going to burn his gills and he won't be able to breathe and he's going to die. So without some outside influence coming in there, cleaning that water out on a regular basis and keeping that taken care of, then that fish is going to die. And so here we are. If you look out into the cities, you can stand on the hill over the cities and you can see the smog over the city, you know, and everybody's all like, oh man, we're polluting the planet. Well, fact of the matter is, they're polluting that city is what's going on. Because if you come out on my side of the planet over here in the country where you can see clear blue skies and every single star at night, then you can tell the difference. You can tell a temperature difference from all the concrete down in the city as opposed to all the grass out in the country. So nature knows what nature's doing. If you want to live down in the midst of a city and you want to live a cleaner life, then get the politicians out there to jump on the bandwagon building some hydrogen cars, some electric cars. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. It's just a matter of fact that these folks out there are getting kickbacks from the power companies. That's why they call them special interest groups, you know. If I want a law passed, I just have a bunch of people go down and aggravate or bribe this senator or congressman or representative, and then they will turn around and pass the law, you know, regulations and all that kind of stuff. What good is it going to do to pass a carbon tax? Seriously. What good is it going to do for you personally? You're going to end up paying a higher electric bill. You're going to end up paying higher food bills, higher fuel, whatever. You know, the whole smear. It's all going to come back onto your dime. And so they're not accomplishing anything. And they're not saving the planet. You know, you could charge the whole world $1 million for every time they breathe CO2 out their mouth, and you're not going to save the planet. You're not doing it. You aren't tougher than nature, no matter how intelligent you think you are. That's why I know I make the college-educated people angry, because I call them flat earthers, because they have the flat earth mentality that this is the only way things are done, and that's that. And so, you know, with that said, so be it. That's why I call it mad science, you know, because it really pisses me off. Don't talk about saving the planet and then jump in a big old SUV and drive on down the road. If you're going to if you're going to preach something, practice what you preach and save the planet. You know, come on, man, we've been sitting around here all these years, and we've been talking about saving the planet from pollution and all that, but what has been done? You know, Sure, there's been some crowds gathering here and there, with holding signs up in the protest zones. You know, you can't protest on this side of the road. You got to be over here in this little section over here. That's what the government says. So you got your little sign up there, and you're like, you know, save the trees, or whatever. You know, what did you do? You didn't do nothing. If you want to save the trees, while there's somebody's out there cutting down a tree on the opposite side, go over there and plant another tree on the other side, you know? You could find this out if you got any kind of land whatsoever. Don't mow your lawn for a week, you know? And pretty soon that doggone grass is going to be pretty tall. Don't mow it for a month. Heck, don't mow it for a year and you're living in a jungle. You know, you got grapevines going all over the place, overgrown. You know, lightning is nature's tree trimmer. When things get so out of hand, bolt of lightning comes down, starts a big old fire, burns off all the overbrush, and then whenever it all comes back, that nitrogen that's put in the soil from all that burn off there, the grass will come back twice as green. I know this for a fact because all the farmers out here, whenever they got huge pastures and they start to get overrun by dried out weeds and stuff like that, they will burn this off, and whenever it comes back, it's the brightest green you've ever seen in your life. The plants love it out there. So, you know, with that said, let nature do what nature does, you know. Don't worry about the apocalypse. You know, there's things going on over there. Everybody's worried about the Fukushima radiation and all that kind of stuff. I got a different opinion on that deal as well. But it's not worth wasting my breath, you know. I stood in the center of Nagasaki. I stood in the center of Hiroshima. And thinking back whenever I was in school going to science class, they sat there and they told me, without a doubt, if an atomic bomb ever went off anywhere, it would be at the very least 100 years to 1,000, possibly 2,000 years or more before you could ever physically go back in there and stand in there, because everything would be radioactive and you would die. Same thing they said about Chernobyl, the same thing they said about Long Island or whatever the heck that was, I can't even remember, 2 Mile Island. You know, you can't go over there. Dude on the Discovery Channel went over there and went fishing, man. He's got this little ticker thing that's going on and gives him the radiation readings. You honestly believe that man's going to go over there and go fishing on live TV to see whether or not he's going to die? Come on, man. Go look at that video, Nuclear Scare Scam, and just listen to it, you know. Maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. But the fact of the matter is, the technology out there is there for nuclear. The technology's out there for hydrogen. The technology's out there for all the different, you know, it's like a buffet, you know. Choose what you want. You want wind power? It's there. Solar power? It's there. But are they using it? Hell no, they ain't using it. If you don't have a solar panel on your house, then you ain't using it either. So, you know, as long as you want to pay the man, I guess that's what you're going to do. You're going to keep paying the man. Go out there, buy you some solar panels, some battery backup banks, that kind of stuff. And if at the very least, if you're not going to get completely off the grid, at least supplement your electric bill so that you're not paying as high electric bill. Because instead of running your house off of the regular mains, have your house set up to run off of 12-volt lighting systems. You know, there's all kinds of LED systems out there that are just incredible. Matter of fact, I think somebody was talking about that in the chat room over there on the Scotty Sovereign about LED systems. These LED lighting systems are pretty amazing, and they don't take a lot of electricity. They'll last for quite a few hours for, you know, each bulb. Some of these things out there are pretty doggone high-tech, man. And you couldn't tell the difference between, you know, regular lighting outside of the fact that it's just a little bit brighter. And so with that said, you know, stock up on some LEDs. Make you some, like they got, if you go up to any of the farm and home garden centers or whatever, they've got these LED lighting systems that are solar that you can hook into your shed, so that you can put this on your shed and it'll charge up the batteries. And then whenever you go inside your shed, all you do is turn the light on, you got light out there. So you don't have to run power out there if you didn't want to your shed. But those are only like $20-$30 for one of those setups. And so, you know, that's a simple solution. I've got several of these that I run around. I got one in the hallway of my house, and I got one off in the kitchen, and I just use them for emergency lightings. And the only time I ever use them is if the power goes off, or, you know, I just want to save some money on the electric bill. But there's ways to cut down your electric bill, you know. If you ain't using it, unplug it. That's a fact. Otherwise, you know, you're just going to waste your bill. So, if anybody wants to call in, you know, I would love to hear you. So, you know, it's just Shazia's there on Skype, man. Call in anytime you like. Somebody else wanted to call in down there. Do-do-do-do. Call. I'm typing in. Me. Now. Smiley face. Alright, well, you know, like I said, I've been rambling on. But it's as simple as this, man. If you want to pay the light man, you're going to pay the light man. If you want to learn about wind power, Muddy Muddy Mud Man does some awesome actual flux wind turbines. You can get permanent magnet motors out there, anything, any electric motor from anywhere from 12 to 36 volts. How you doing there, Steve?
I'm doing good, my man.
Pretty good. So I'm on a roll today. What are you thinking about?
you know the gale in Windsor? New nuclear scare scam?
Yeah.
I would like your take on it, to be honest. That's really where I'm at today.
Well, honestly, I believe he's correct. You know, yeah. I've done the research, and I'm telling you, you know, I can say physically, I stood at Hiroshima and Nagasaki at ground zero, all right? And I seen thousands of people walking around me, all right? When I was in school, and I'm only 49 years old, I believe. I think I'm 49. I could be 48. I'm getting senile old age. But anyway, I was literally standing there looking at the museums, and you could see where during the initial blast that there was people that were just basically scorched to the wall, you know, and big, huge beams that were twisted. But the fact of the matter is when I was in school, they were telling me that it would be anywhere from 100 to 1,000 to 2,000 years before you could ever go back up in there once an atomic bomb was dropped because of the radiation factor. And I've heard people talk about, oh, well, that bomb that went off back then was different than what's going on today. No, it ain't no different outside the fact that, you know, they're more powerful nowadays. You know, so, you know, with that said, the initial blast, that's going to be the most damage. Until everything settles down, the radiation settles down. If you're miles away from it and you're looking at it, you can still be blinded by the deal. You know, the flash, the initial flash out of the deal. The closer you are in, the closer you are to death. If you understand what I'm saying, as far as an atomic bomb going off. But as far as the materials, you know, that they use for these things, man, it came out of nature. My buddy Cultus, he was living over there in Australia, and he's talking about he living on top of a uranium mine, you know. And he's like, he was all worried about how uranium might make him sick or something like that. And I said, how old are you, man? And he told me, and then I said, well, you've done pretty well all these years, haven't you? Is anybody next to you starting to drop like flies? And he said, no. I said, well, you know, there ought to be something to be said about that. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Take it one life, is this?
I'm not afraid of radiation, man. The initial fallout, if you're during the initial deal, I would say you got problems. And, you know, all these folks out there concerned about depleted uranium and all that kind of stuff, I just don't see why, you know, a government would put thousands and thousands of rounds of ammunition in people's you know, weapons if they were going to start dropping like flies. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. for sure.
So,
I mean, radiation is natural, and it is natural on the planet, you know. So, this is what I'm kind of working on, and obviously what Galen Windsor says, you know, he's been handling it and having high doses of all this stuff, and he's, you know, I know he's not saying it's not totally safe, but you know, I think it's pretty much 90% safe, and it's only when you make mistakes that you know, dangerous things are going to happen.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you go get an X-ray at the doctor's office. Now, if you stay under there too long, you're taking direct exposure from that, you know, and it's a high dosage, and so too much, and you're in trouble. That's why the doctor goes hides behind the wall whenever they X-ray your teeth and stuff, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the same kind of mind that it's possible that radiation does actually work maybe to cure things. Is it possible that maybe irradiating food is okay and making them last longer, you know, this type of thing? I mean, personally, I came from the position that radiation was bad, and I'm researching to the best of my knowledge, and that is it really bad?
Well,
and I'll kind of add this wee bit and then see what you think.
We know two extremes that radiation's bad, because you get sunburn, all right? Too much exposure to anything. If you eat too much sugar, then you're going to be sick, you know? It's like trying to eat a whole bag of marshmallows, you know? The first one tastes good. By the time you get through with that end of that bag, you're starting to get sick because you just overloaded your body with it. You see, there's the difference. And if you're, like I said, if you're right there in the middle of a radioactive dust cloud, this initial explosion just went on, yeah, you're going to have problems because you're getting bombarded with some serious rads. But after nature does what nature does, you know, like I said, everything came from the ground, you know. There's not one chemical that we've ever created, you know, no matter how hard you think about it. We mix this and that to get plastic. And when we're done with that plastic, they said that plastic would last in the dumps for thousands of years, you know, and it would clog up the dumps. Well, I go out metal detecting. I don't know if you have ever been metal detecting, where you go out there and try to find you some treasure, some coins or stuff like that. And as I'm digging it up, I'm finding deteriorated plastic. I'm finding aluminum that's turned back into calcium carbonate. You know, it's all white, chalky-looking stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So nature dissolves. It takes away what we don't use. And that's what I keep trying to say, but, you know, I guess if somebody's interested in saving the planet, that's great. You know, clean up your environment. You'll live healthier as long as you're in the city and you want to clean up that crud that's down there instead of dumping antifreeze down the toilet, you know, in your factories, or instead of, you know, draining your oil right directly on the ground. Recycle it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I care for Mother Earth. I believe that we are mistreating her for sure, but I don't think we're mistreating her to the extent that she's on her last legs at the moment. But certainly, I think we should take more care of our environment.
Well, I agree yeah. with you. But the whole thing is, at the end of the day, Mother Nature's in charge. No matter how tough we think we are, if we get out of line, nature will shake us off like a bad set of fleas. It's like these pesticides that they keep putting out there, and they're killing off the bees and stuff. We kill off those bees, we got our work cut out for us if we want to eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's for sure.
That means everybody puts on their little bee antennas and gets their little pollen bag and goes around and pollinates all the... You know, do the bees' job, so leave the bees alone and stop poisoning each other, you know. It's as simple as that.
Well, I believe in China, because of the pollution and the bee... What's the word I'm looking for? The bee population is reduced, and I think they have to go along and do it manually. And it's hundreds of people, I believe.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, but, you know, it's like this, you know. If the bee population drops on this side, they're going somewhere. They're not staying there because they're noticing they're dying off the longer they stay there, so they get out of Dodge. It's just like every other animal out there, you know. If you're in a rough neighborhood, you're not going to stay there. You just move on down the road somewhere where there ain't no people. So you come out there in the country, like especially where I'm at, you know, when they're talking about the bee population down there, at the bee farms are depleted and there ain't nothing going on down there, they can't figure out where their bees are, come over to my house and I'll show you where they are. Because I'm trying to work on stuff out in my garden and I'm getting buzzed by bees, bzz, bzz, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like to send them back over to their side.
I mean, there's usually lots of angles to certain things, you know, like the bees, the phone towers are you know, causing them problems, the pesticides are causing them problems and so on. It usually tends to be a double-edged sword with everything, I believe, but I mean, we know that the Gwen towers are at a frequency that are harming the bees and so on. So,
well, they are. And that's what I'm saying. Like way out in the country where there are no Gwen towers, then you don't have that issue. So, you know, around the cities, if you start noticing things going wrong, there's a reason for that. You know, these bees and birds and all the fish, they navigate using the magnetic field of the earth. You know, they have built-in compasses that tells them which way is north, south, and east and west. And if you watch during the summertime, you'll notice the birds, they don't know where they're coming or going, you know?
Yep.
And there's got to be something going on with that. You know, if you look up in the sky, and I know everybody says, oh, well, that's just a doggone conspiracy, but I'm telling you what, I've been paying attention to science since I was a kid. I know they're spraying crap in the air. And then they wonder why the birds are falling from the sky. Imagine you're a little bird, and you got a really high metabolism going, you're flapping your wings to all get out just trying to travel across land, you know, and so your little respiratory system's you know, working overtime. Then you fly through a cloud of aluminum and barium oxides, suck that into your lungs and all that kind of stuff, and now you're choking out, you're up there trying to flap your wings, you can't breathe, and you drop out of the sky. And then they say that a lot of these birds had like mush in there, and they died from blunt trauma and stuff like this. Well, yeah, blunt trauma is the fact that they just fell out of the sky and hit the dirt. You know what I'm saying? You still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. I was just taking a mouthful of my coffee there.
But the common sense, it just drives me nuts. They said, oh, well, it was firecrackers that did it, you know? Heck, if that was true, you know, when you was a kid and I was a kid, we used to blow fireworks off all the time. There weren't birds dropping from the sky, you know.
Yeah.
You can't do that stuff and expect not to get any results. You know, there could be an actual line that we could cross as humans. You know, you kill off a certain species, it never comes back. Period.
Yeah.
It's gone. And so there could be a certain point where we turn around and kill off every doggone living thing on the planet. The whole food chain collapses, the whole system collapses, and then we die off. But if you're one of the folks that believe in evolution, you know what? Nature's going to clean us off. The bugs are going to come along and eat up our rotted corpses, and then turn around, and it's all going to start over again. Everything will evolve right back, and it'll be back just the way it was before. So no matter how tough you think we are as humans, we're not. If we're going to save the planet, we need to do this for a selfish reason, such as saving our own lives, because we are killing each other off.
Yeah, I would agree with that, yeah. So, going back to the Galen Windsor thing then, just to see what you may think of this. I'm not saying I believe this is the case, but is it possible that nuclear power is actually safe for us, you know, to use? And, you know, when they built all these nuclear power stations, knowing that it's not going to harm us, they built them all up in all these fault lines, knowing in the future they're going to get an earthquake and you're going to have a nuclear disaster, let's say, or a tsunami, and you know, from that point on, they're obviously going to claim, oh, it's nuclear stuff, and it's destroying the planet, and so on, when it basically isn't. You know, they talk about not letting a good crisis go to waste. Do you think that is actually a possible scenario?
Well, I definitely think that's a possible scenario. You gotta factor this in for a second. It took a lot of intelligence to build a nuclear power plant. There was a lot of educated flat earthers involved in this whole deal. You know, they put their minds together. They actually built these systems. And so there was a lot of brains going into this. And somebody had to have known at some point in time if you put this on a fault line, there is always the potential that that fault line is going to crack, which is going to crack your core and essentially spew out a radioactive material. Now, if you go out there to do anything, such as maybe build you a pond, you got to get a permit to build a pond because you got to, you know, conserve on water. There's all kinds of regulations on everything, you know. And so, with that said, unless the government was flat out freaking stupid, which, you know, sometimes they act like it. Unless they were flat out stupid, why would they say, yeah, this is okay, you know, we'll go ahead and do that? Because it's not just your kids that's going to be living in that neighborhood. Their kids is going to be living there too. And so if they want to take the chance of killing off their own kids and all of humanity, then they would go for a bad idea. Well, they didn't. They said it was okay for everybody to do this, and they built all these power plants. And I believe that there was a lot of research that went into it. And I don't think that there was near the danger. The key point is we got to have these power plants to run our electricity. But we don't want the average Joe knowing that they can have a mini power plant that would run just as efficient in their yard. Otherwise, we ain't going to make no money off of this investment that we made for this huge power plant. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, so, double-edged sword stuff again, you know.
Yep.
If we're getting power from nuclear power stations that's free and safe, or not essentially free, but essentially safe, that means we're less reliant on the oils and the gases and the coals and so on. So, back to a double-edged sword again.
Well, you know, the whole gas and coal thing, it's another big mess because, man, they've been burning coal for years back in the day. You know, when a volcano spews all that crud up into the air, you know, think about it. Before the industrial age, there were volcanoes on the earth, and they went off on a frequent deal, and the planet survived. Everybody survived. Then the coal burning days came around. They had the steam engines that run the doggone trains around, you know, and the black plume that was coming up out of there, you know. Everybody survived all the way through the entire history. So I'm not afraid of any of that old technology. Because I understand that nature is in control. The CO2 that everybody's complaining about, how's it getting trapped in the atmosphere, which is about as truthful as the tooth fairy, you know. But anyway, you know, I won't go into that because it'd get me on a global warming rant, and then I go crazy. But, you know, all of this stuff, it's been around. It's been around forever and a day, and I, like I said, I stood at Hiroshima, I stood at Nagasaki, and I'm not dying of leukemia. My hair ain't falling out outside of the fact that I'm getting old. My hairline's receding, and that's just nature. But, you know, I'll just have to deal with that. I'll buy me a hat.
Well, that was one of the things that kind of got me wondering, is Galen Windsor right as well? You know, you're talking about Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and Chernobyl, and, you know, they say it's got a half-life of 100,000 years and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, we're really not seeing what they claim is going to happen in those places. So that kind of set a little thing off in my head that, yeah, well, these people are still living there, you know, so how can it be that bad? They're not seeing that bad results from that population.
Well, the red flag for me was the whole we got to bury this stuff really deep underground to get rid of it kind of thing, you know. That was a red flag to me because, you know, first off, when you start burying stuff, there's going to be a point in time where you're actually going to run out of room to bury stuff, you know, and then you're standing around in nothing but a radioactive, polluted planet, and everybody's sick and die. So you would have to know ahead of time that when you start this process, there's going to come some point where you're going to kill off the planet because you ain't got no place to hide it anymore. You know, you've shoved it under the carpet, you've shoved it under the couch, it's underneath the house, it's underneath the commode, it's over in the trees, you know.
Yeah.
And now it ain't safe to go anywhere. So they had to know back then, before they even started this process, if it was as dangerous as they say it is today, then they should not have even started the process. But I believe it was just the opposite. I believe the reason why they bury that stuff is because even depleted uranium is still producing energy, because it's still, you know, decaying, and as it decays, it releases energy. And so you could take depleted uranium and you could build a generator, because as that energy is being released, you could use it to bombard an inert gas and create plasma and create electricity, you know, energy. So even the waste off of that is fuel. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, I don't get it, you know. These mainstream scientists, they just, I'm telling you, that's why I call it mad science, because they piss me off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're taking a lot of the information we get from the powers that be, or the powers that were, if you like, and we obviously get fed this information.
Well, if people are seriously worried about Fukushima and all the radioactive energy being wasted out there, expended out there, then use some information that Tesla had way back when. If you want to drain off of some energy, throw you some huge old coils up in that wire and tell everybody in the entire freaking town to turn their lights on and leave them on 24/7 until you just deplete that energy out of that rock.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that energy is going to go somewhere. And if you're using it to energize something, once that field couples, you know, it's going to start draining that energy down. That it's like a battery, a crystal battery or any battery that you got, you know, lead acid, lithium, any of those batteries. You only got so much time, and the chemical reaction that's going on in there will wear down, and then the battery goes dead. And so essentially, if you want to drain off that energy, turn the lights on. Turn every damn light you got on in the house. Turn the washer, the dryer, the TV on. Tell the kids go play the Nintendo. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you'll drain it off.
Yeah. Fukushima was a strange thing. It concerns me that there's so much going out on the net, and people are getting really scared. It's only a natural thing. But Fukushima, tell me if my understanding this is wrong. When a nuclear plant goes into meltdown, essentially it makes more power because there's more heat, there's more steam, and it has a self-generating power supply, if you like. So the more the hotter it runs, the more energy it produces. So surely they should have been able to cool it down.
Yeah. And happened is you will get so much heat that you will literally turn all the water that is actually used to cool it down into hydrogen and oxygen. It'll burst into steam, and it's kind of like throwing a water on an electrical fire. It's a big no-no. You know, there's another key right there. When people tell you can't burn water, you know, it's not possible. The fire department always tells you never throw water on electrical fire because you'll get a hydrogen explosion. So that's what's going on in the core. Those rods are getting so hot from deteriorating the way that they're doing, and the way that they're packed inside there, all this energy's bashing into each other, and it's just doing just like it would be in your microwave oven. It's going to keep on building it up until it gets so incredibly hot that it turns all that water into steam, and no matter how much water you flush in there, you're not going to be able to keep the water going fast enough to keep that thing from completely melting down until you finally get a hydrogen explosion. If you're in a general vicinity, you're screwed. You know, you're going to be right there where the actual explosion itself is going on. The farther you're away from it, the better you're going to be. And as far as all the nuclear fallout and all that kind of stuff, I'm not even afraid of that. You know, they talked about how, you know, during the nuclear attack, you're supposed to go around and duct tape up all your windows to keep any dust. If you're in that general vicinity when the initial blast goes, while all that energy's dispersed, that dust is going to get you because it's energized. But after it has time to settle down on the ground, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You know, unless you're like running over there eating it.
My point being back when I was saying about it producing more electricity, what they said was that the diesel generators failed. But I mean, if they're generating power because, I mean, obviously it wasn't going into critical at that stage. If they're generating power there, how is it that they could do anything when they're actually, because the diesel generators failed? That was the kind of strangest thing that TEPCO had said that I found rather odd.
Yeah, that is kind of stupid. If the generators fail, why don't you plug into the grid?
Yeah.
How's the power grid going to go down as long as you have the steam turbines online?
Yeah. No, so that was just a strange thing that I thought, no, that doesn't work out for me.
Well, you know, the whole thing, to me, it's just a scare tactic to get everybody to buying into this and buying into that. You know, at one point, one side of society says, you know, nuclear is the way to go. The other side says, oh, gas and oil and fracking. Fracking's the stupidest idea on the planet, man. You know, if you're going to have to extract it out, and it costs you as much to extract it out, you know, you're going to bust up the ground and suck all this stuff out. See, everybody keeps talking about these sinkholes that's going on around the world. Now, step back and look at the big picture. What in the heck would cause all these sinkholes to be popping up around the world? First off, you got companies out there that are sucking water out of aquifers like hand over fist. All right? Underneath your house foundation in your basement, if you start noticing cracks in your foundation, that's because that the ground is drying out underneath your foundation. That you literally need hydraulic pressure underneath your house to keep that that ground level under there. I mean, it sounds crazy, but you really seriously want water underneath your house, underneath the foundation. It's when that water level changes frequently, like during the winter time, you know, the water will freeze and it'll expand up and crack your concrete. And in the summertime, it'll drop back down the other way. And during a drought time, it'll get dry and all that dry dirt will compact down even further. And so your basement foundation fails. So by keeping a balance underneath your foundation, you can literally keep your foundation from cracking. When they're pumping all this water out of aquifers, like, they're pumping a mile away from me, right? Well, underneath my house, I'm sitting on a water table. So they pumped the water table down. Now, I no longer have that hydraulic pressure anymore, so the weight on the ground above that deal fails, and it sinks in, drops a big hole down inside there. So when they're doing these fracking operations miles away from you, they're sucking material out from underneath your house. And when you do that, your foundation's going to fail. It's going to fall in a hole. It's common sense. So when they're pumping oil out of the ground, same thing. When they're pumping water out of the ground, same thing. When they're fracking and they're cracking up the earth, doing all that kind of stuff, not only are they causing man-made earthquakes, but they're triggering natural earthquakes as well, because once you move material from one side and that ground shifts, it's blatantly obvious that fault line is going to shift as well. So we are literally creating our own earthquakes on a daily basis. You see what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah. We've had many earthquakes in the UK because of fracking. It's been reported in the press and so on already. My personal opinion on fracking, the pound for pound, you know, for, you know, what you spend to get the oil out is minimal. So I suspect that it's not really the oil or the gas that they're after. I really do think they're trying to pollute the aquifers.
Well, and that wouldn't surprise me in the least, because that's one of the side effects to fracking is you put polluted water down inside people's wells, and then guess what? There's guys out there who have already made major investments in huge lands that are sitting on water tables, and there's guys that are in the oil business who shifted over to the water business, because if you can sell a little bottle of water for a dollar, I mean, that beats the price of oil at any given day. The gold is in the water, you know? So if you pollute everybody's water and suddenly now they have total control over who gets fresh water and who don't, that's a lot of power. And it's a lot of money. So these guys out here who run all these corporations, they know better, you know. They're not doing it in their neighborhood. Go over to rich neighborhoods. How many sinkholes have you seen? How many videos on YouTube or whatever have you seen where a mansion just went into a sinkhole? I would laugh my butt off if I saw a mansion going in. because it serves them right. You know, they're the ones that doing it. But there ain't no mansions falling in sinkholes. It's your house. It's my house. It's your neighbor's house. Because they're sucking the material out from underneath the ground that you're on. Because when you buy your property, a lot of people don't understand. You don't get the mineral rights with that property unless it specifically says in your contract. And so if you want the mineral rights, then you own everything from the top all the way down to the bottom, you know. But if you don't own the mineral rights, that means the company next to you can go over there and buy the mineral rights from the guy who just sold you the land, and he can undermine your property. And then if you get a sinkhole, hey, it must have been an act of God.
Yeah,
you can't even sue him.
That's right, yeah. It's funny, you mentioned that, you know, people say their mansions, the rich, that have their mansions not having any fracking near them. I'm sure there's an incident in the UK which is very similar to that. They'll not allow the fracking to take place. And I think there's a place in Canada, an incident in Canada, which the same thing happened again. It was a politician was protesting fracking going in his area. So, yeah, I can see what you're saying there.
So what do you think the Queen would do if she was sitting down there at the dinner table and suddenly half the mansion fell off into a sinkhole? You think she would get results? Look, you just dump half my house, half my mansion up into the hole there. You just stop that fracking over there right now.
Going back to the nuclear thing, because that's the thing I've got to be in my bonnet about just lately. Thorium, you know, what's your thoughts on thorium and uranium? Because obviously thorium is four times more abundant than uranium.
Well, there's some incredible technology with thorium coming out that I can't wait to get into, man, because the stuff is safe as far as I'm concerned. And you could put some thorium inside your electric car and never have to charge it back up for another 100 years. And so to me, I'm thinking that might be something to go with right there.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's something that I haven't really been I'm not too familiar with, but, you know, four times abundant, you know, this uranium and a rare metal. You know, why are we using a rare metal when we can use something that is really abundant? You know, this is part of the scam, you know, that makes it so, your nuclear power is so expensive because of this, because of that, because of that, you know. You know, thorium seems like a real good deal, I believe. It's
like, well, somebody go out there and look at the price, the actual price that it costs to buy this material. I mean, it's expensive. I mean, you're talking thousands and millions of dollars for like uranium and stuff to run you know, nuclear power plants, right? There's a reason why it's really expensive. Even the waste is worth money, but they're paying to put the waste in the dump, and they should be using that waste as fuel. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's crazy. I like the thorium, though. I'm going to do a whole lot more research up into that, because I've heard a few things that coming up on building engines that actually run off of this stuff, you know. And it doesn't take a lot, you know. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, I'm of the mind that you know, technology and nature can live hand in hand.
I agree.
I mean, there's no doubt. And I mean, as long as we know things are safe to use, and we know that energies are suppressed in different ways. I mean, you see that every week, you know. So, I would love to see something like that, where we could become a lot more self-dependent rather than self-reliant on the energy companies, which is your big thing, I would say.
Well, I'm saying that we should have already been there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, like I said, these guys have built these power plants, and all the government officials, these guys aren't by any means stupid. They didn't get where they got by being totally stupid. Now, as far as common sense, a lot of them ain't got no common sense. And a lot of the reasons why there's politicians in office that have no common sense is because they can be played like a banjo, you know. You get old Joe Schmo over here who's about as bright as a 10-watt light bulb, and you make him a congressman, you can come along and tell him the earth is flat, and he's going to believe it, you know, and he's going to vote accordingly. So you put the dummies in place that you want in place to get your agenda furthered. You know, that sounds like some sort of new whacked out conspiracy theory, but think about it. Look at the stupid things like Nancy Pelosi said. We got to pass this bill so we can find out what's in it. Really? Are you freaking nuts? You know, it's going to take us average Joe, man, to do it. And that's why they put all these regulations on stuff. Man, if you had plutonium in your house, you'd have the feds on you so fast it'd make your head spin. They'd think you're going to be building a bomb or something, you know?
Yeah.
Hell, Spells, you can't even say bomb. They're probably spying on me right now. I got a drone getting ready to blow up my lab because I just said bomb, you know?
I don't know if you're aware of this, but there was a guy, I think it was in Norway or Sweden or one of those, countries, and he actually bought a bomb, a nuclear bomb, through buying stuff through eBay. I know this was in the papers. I don't really know how true it was, but it seemed quite laughable at the time, you know.
Well, there is nothing that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, there's people trying to sell their soul on eBay. So, you know, if you can sell a soul on eBay, what's a soul worth? Who knows? So, you know, you can find anything out there on the internet, and which is a plus. I mean, I look at it like this, man. You know, we wouldn't even have found out any of this information had we not had access to this information. Now, you gotta hunt and pick through the lies and propaganda and scam artists in order to get to the good stuff. But if you check all your different sources and you look at the facts, you know, you'll find the right answer to the deal. I don't believe nuclear waste is waste. I believe it's fuel, and I don't believe it's as dangerous as the government say, you know. Now, we obviously know gasoline is seriously dangerous. So if you were going to be selling gasoline, you would have to have all kinds of permits in order to sell this and all kinds of signs and safety deals in place because, you know, one spark would ignite the whole deal and blow you off the planet. And so with that said, we're still running around with bombs on a daily basis. Your car is a literally ticking time bomb. If you don't maintain that sucker, or if you get a leak and a spark in the wrong place, that thing's going to go up in flames. And if you got something like those old magnesium wheels, heck, when the fire department gets there, they can't even put the magnesium wheels out because those things are burning so white hot, you know? It's crazy. So, you know, with that said, you know, everything is ass backwards as far as the way we should be right now. Everybody should have their own nuclear reactor in their backyard, you know. If it was done right and you weren't getting stupid with it, you wouldn't blow up your house. It would be perfectly safe. But you can't do this if you're going to be in business. If go back through history and you look at all the guys like the Rothschilds and the Bilderbergers and all these guys, the big name brands, who's the other big banker? Morgan's. You can see all the way back through the industrial age how they used to have these wars, these monopoly wars on each other, and try to run each other out of business to get power. And they would, when Edison was trying to keep Tesla from getting the AC current instead of DC current, he was out electrocuting animals with AC current and trying to make it show that the AC current was too dangerous, that you would die if you used it, never mind the fact that with DC current, there were many episodes that people got too close to the light socket and a lightning bolt would literally zap out of the socket, wall socket, and lay them out, you know? It's kind of like, you know, build that static charge up and then go over and touch your brother on the ear, you know? Look, that's the way they did it. They did it to tell everybody, you know, I'm going to make all this money off this oil. I sure as hell don't want somebody down the street selling hydrogen You know, because hydrogen is, you know, you can get water all over the place. So maybe the reason why they're doing all this this stuff to get control of all the water resources is because they start realizing that the cat's out of the bag and people know that they can burn water for fuel and they won't have to pay for fuel prices. Back during the war, during the Depression and all that kind of stuff, I talked to a lot of old farmers, because I know farmers all over the state of Missouri, and I've talked to a lot of old farmers. Back in the day, they used to literally, when they got their tractors up to operating speed, and these were diesel engines, when they got them up to operating speed, they started injecting water into the cylinders, and, you know, it was like throwing water on electrical fire. You know, you can change the hydrogen, separate the hydrogen and oxygen by heat or electricity. You can do a chemical separation, but in this particular instance, between the compression inside the piston and the heat inside the piston and the heat of the engine itself, you throw that water up in there, it instantly flashes into steam, which ignites the hydrogen and pushes the piston and so on down the line. So when they got their tractors up to operating speed to save on fuel, they would inject water into the cylinders. Now that's fact.
Yep, I can verify that. She says my friend's uncle, who is a farmer most of these days, is kind of retired, but still has the tractors and has a play in the fields and so on. He said that's how they used to run their tractors, so I can verify that.
Yep, and all these things that I say on here, you could verify. You could go look it up, man. I mean, we obviously know it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can burn water. I've done videos on it. You know, we blew stuff up with it. That's a lot of power in hydrogen. Hydrogen is super powerful. The combustion that you would get out of hydrogen would beat the gasoline engine like you wouldn't believe. And now the Navy's talking about by 2016 or 2018 or whatever, they're going to be running their ships off of hydrogen. See, they have gas turbine ships. They don't have the old boiler systems like they used to. But now they're going to be running their deal off of hydrogen. So they are literally floating on the fuel that they're going to be burning in these ships. Could you imagine not having to spend millions of dollars to fuel these ships up? All they got to do is suck some salt water up, which already has the electrolyte in it and already has the water. You know, it's already conductive. You ship it right through the system. It basically turns it into hydrogen and runs your generators and your motor.
Yep. It's so simple, isn't it?
Yeah. So they're sitting here talking about they're going to do this, but then they don't. Then they say, "Well, you can't do that. It's inefficient. There's no way to do that." Really?
Yeah.
Come on, man. You know, don't tell me about global warming and then get in a freaking jet.
Yeah.
That's a whole deal. And you know, the magical story of global warming, I figured it out when I was 9 years old, Steve. I was a 9-year-old zit phase geek, and I'm watching the news, and I listened to it. They're talking about how the planet was heating up. Obviously, I keep up with the planet, you know, because I was a science geek, and I knew a lot of stuff because I paid attention in school. So I'm like, man, I got to listen to this because this could be bad, you know. 13-degree temperature difference would change the Gulf Stream, and which would in turn change the jet stream and cause crazy weather all over the freaking globe. You know, big old giant earthquakes and hurricanes and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so I'm listening to it, and they start going into the science. And then they start talking about how CO2 was getting trapped up into the Earth's atmosphere, and that's when you could hear like that sound that you hear in movies where the brakes start screeching, you know, scree! Hold on a second. Did you say what I think you did? I said, that ain't right, Mom. And she said, what are you talking about, boy? I said, Mom, CO2 isn't nothing more than two oxygen atoms connected to one carbon atom, which makes it heavier than oxygen. I said 10,000 feet is the highest that you can go without supplemental oxygen, because ask the mountain climbers when they get up on top of Mount Everest, which I believe is like 10,000 feet or more. When they get on top of there, the air is so thin up there that they got to move real slow because they can't breathe. Because there's not very much oxygen. In an airplane, you get up to 14,000 feet, the oxygen mask will drop down. You got to have oxygen. And when you get up to 30,000 feet, there is no oxygen, so you have to pump it into the cabin. and have carbon scrubbers to keep everybody from dying of suffocation. So all this high-tech stuff, you know, and they're going to sit there and say that CO2 is magically making it up there where freaking carbon can't, or where oxygen can't, then I got to call shenanigans on that.
Yeah, the CO2 content, you know.
And the methane, that's the funniest one right there.
Yeah. Well, the CO2 one, I mean, I'm a motor mechanic, and it's one of the things that really struck home to me that the global warming is just a scam. Basically, being a motor mechanic, you obviously have gases come out of the tailpipe, and eventually a cockpit. You know, there wasn't any CO2 change with catalytic converters on the cars, and in fact, the catalytic converters and the way engines run now, you have more nitrous oxides and NOx gases, which is a lung irritant, and so on. And also, you know, or soda, you know, or Coca-Cola's or whatever. It's all CO2.
Yeah! You have to ban soda because it's causing global warming. Everybody out there who's drinking a soda that has the fizzy in it, dump it down the toilet. You're killing us.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you do your research, I mean, I was a motor mechanic for 25 years and didn't know. You know, I didn't clock that. So,
well,
that's how you can prove it to yourself.
The catalytic converter should be the proof in the pudding. That should have been the red flag all from the get-go, because what a catalytic converter is a reburner. Well, the only thing a catalytic converter does is when the exhaust is coming out, the titanium and platinum inside this catalytic converter gets so superheated that any exhaust that comes out of there gets reburnt through the deal. It's a reburner. It burns off waste fuel that wasn't burned up in the combustion cycle. And so with that said, instead of putting waste fuel out the exhaust, make the doggone thing more efficient to where it doesn't even have to burn near the amount of fuel. Like, instead of squirting it into the stream, atomize it, send it into the deal, and every single bit of that fuel that goes into the combustion chamber will ignite and give you more horsepower, thus forth using less fuel to begin with. So, you know, you being a mechanic, you understand what I'm saying.
Yep, that is right.
Vapors will burn faster than liquids.
That's right. That's right.
And you'll get an amazing release off of it. You know, these race cars out there, they're running pretty much the same engines, but for some reason they're getting more horsepower out of them. How is that?
Yeah. That's right. And you're getting into a subject that probably I would enjoy talking about, but I don't know if you heard my phone there. That's my good lady wanting me, and if I don't get moving shortly, she'll be coming in with the frying pan.
Uh-oh, gotta keep the lady happy. Anyway, yeah, we're getting down to the last 9 minutes anyway. It's been a great conversation, Steve. I appreciate you coming on there.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Shaziz, and I say this just because we're on the air. I'm grateful to be associated with you and Shaziz Radio and all the other networks that are streaming our stuff.
Same here, brother.
And hopefully we can keep it going as long as we possibly can.
Hey, we're doing good so far. You know, they've attacked us many times, but we kept on rolling. We're still up and going all this time later.
That's it, yep.
Power to the people.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
All right, take care, brother.
Thanks again for having me on, she says. I appreciate what you do.
Peace and love.
Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was my buddy Steve over there at Awake Radio. It's always a pleasure to have him on there. You know, it's just common sense, folks. You know, I know we're coming down to the wire. Don't want to go into another long rant or anything like that. But, you know, before everybody gets all paranoid about all the stuff going on in Fukushima, you know, there's those problems. They need to be addressed. They are polluting on a local level. But look at the dates. Go back in the time and look how long it's been, and think about, you know, what's really going on. Look at the big picture. Now, when they did that BP oil spill and they put that doggone Corexit stuff in the water, you know dang good and well that stuff wasn't good for the wildlife down there. And all it did, instead of completely getting rid of it was cause that oil to sink down. But nature will still deteriorate that as well. You know, the fish, as far as the fish dying off like they are, you know, it's going to happen. When you tamper around with nature, when you put frequencies out there that interfere with navigations of dolphins and whales and fish, you're going to cause them to do things they wouldn't normally do. You know, the salmon, they go upstream, and if they're navigating upstream and they think that north is the opposite direction because of some frequency wave being pumped out there that's disrupting their navigation, then they're going the wrong doggone direction. And then they wonder why there ain't no salmon coming upstream. You know, if you build a blockade, a dam, or a generator deal, you may need to make some way for these fish to be able to get around during spawning season and stuff. So you can work. We can have a symbiotic relationship between nature and man. We can do this thing right, but it's going to be we, the people, that do it, because all these turkeys up there in the top, They don't give a damn. Seriously, they don't care. You know, as long as they're getting money, as long as they're not eating the genetically altered foods, and, you know, I guarantee you, if you went over to one of their mansions and had dinner with them, they had their food specially brought in that was free-range chicken or, you know, non-pesticide food, all organic stuff, you know. They're not eating what you're eating. They're not eating all the chemistry, and they're not they're looking healthy because they're living healthy. You know, when's the last time, like I said, when's the last time you've seen one of their mansions go down a sinkhole? Because they're not fracking in their neighborhood. They have the inside scoop with the representatives, and they can essentially, you know, say, hey, look, you know, you can do it over there in the poorer neighborhood, but you ain't doing it in mine. That kind of thing. So anyway, when it comes down to alternative energy, we got a great thing going on. We got to keep all this information going. So share the podcast. You know, if you've got your own network out there and maybe you ain't been able to do the show, whatever, you could always grab up a podcast off of Mad Science if you like and rebroadcast them. Ain't nothing copyrighted. There's nothing copyrighted on my YouTube. So if you want to go out and start your own YouTube channel and steal every single video I got, I don't care. As long as the information gets out there to the people, I'm not in it to sell anything. I'm in it because I believe that my children and my grandchildren deserve a better future than the one that we've actually had to contend with. And so I put the information out there, and I gather up information from other like-minded individuals. We're sharing information and trying to make advancements in our own life. And if we do that, we can teach each other how to take care of each other and clean up our environments all in the same go. If you come over to my property, I can tell everybody during the apocalypse, come over to old Shaziz's house. It'll be the one with the lights on. And I'll show you how to do it as well. But if you come over to my property, you'll see that I can live with nature. I can live side by side with nature. I clean up and I put back. And, you know, it's just a give and take relationship. A 50-50, kind of like a marriage, you know. If you're going to use something from nature, you put something back. That's the way it should be. You don't go out there and overfish your pond, or your pond's going to eventually not have any fish in it. So you want to take care of all the nature around you, and nature will take care of you as well. And, you know, what more can you say on that deal? So with that said, you know, I think coming down to the wire, I'm going to go ahead and throw on an uplifting tune. So stay tuned for Beverly's Hope Show, which is going to be a rebroadcast of an old podcast. And stay tuned and listen in. Beverly's got some things she's working on today, you know, and she'll be back with you live next week. And with that said, peace and love, everybody, and take care.
To the place. Thank you.